Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And we always ask you to please remember that we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And we've got a couple friendly reminders for you.
We do.
Number one, you want a Forever 35 t-shirt? We've got them.
Mm-hmm. You want a Forever 35 fanny pack? We got them.
A mug?
Sure.
Leggings?
Yep. How about socks?
We do have socks. Mm-hmm. That might be...
How about stickers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we have
stickers. We even have art.
We do have art. Yeah. You can get a frame. We can't frame it, but you can get a print that you can then frame of our logo.
On our merch website.
On our merch website, which is forever35merch.com.
And also... We are hoping you have tuned in to Gee Thanks Just Bought It.
Yep. The new podcast that we are executive producing, hosted by Caroline Moss.
Look at us.
Look at us. All right.
That's it.
That's it. Let's get
into
it.
All we want to say. All right. We're going to kick things off with a person who I really connected with.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Forever 35. My name is Kristen. I am calling in with a raspy morning voice to contribute to the what do you do at 5 a.m. discussion. I am a 5 a.m. early riser. I'm currently waiting to go to a weights class, and this is my morning time of peace, solitude, get in what I need to. A little bit of backstory. I am a solo parent. I decided to adopt a little girl on my own 3.5 years ago, and that rocked my world for all the good reasons and all the hard reasons, as any parent can tell you. So I started waking up even earlier and really using the mornings to get myself ready for the day. I own my own business and need, you know, full mental and emotional capacity there, as well as with my daughter. So before I started going to, you know, weights classes or gym classes in the morning, I would work out or do work out at my house. I eat breakfast alone. I make coffee. I sit and read while I drink it hot. I shower. I get ready. And I do all the things that help me feel prepared for the day by myself without tending to someone else, answering the phone, answering a question. And my day is really just set up better because I wake up this early. My body clock is already set this way. I do go to bed early in order to make all of this happen, but it really does make me a happier human. I love going to bed early and being able to do this. Though it doesn't sound like I'm that alert and awake via my voice today, but I appreciate, both of you so much. And this podcast, it was introduced to me by a friend, Julia. Hi, Julia. So thank you so much. The Facebook group is amazing. Just the support of women, encouraging each other and offering advice is just what we need to see more of in the world. So thank you for, providing the space. I wish you both fantastic early mornings.
Aww.
Well,
love that.
Hello. You know, there's a very interesting article that just came out about last week in The Atlantic. It was basically saying, like anything, there's this aspirational promise that a morning routine is going to give you all these things, when in reality, it just often sets up people to feel bad about how they don't do what, you know, Bill Gates or Arianna Huffington, whoever the people are listed in these, look at my morning routine articles. And so I read it. I tried to keep an open mind about it. I will say, though, I woke up at 4:45 and had a really productive morning today.
Whoa.
My body just woke up.
Oh, how nice for you.
I was in bed at 10, but I have found that if I can get up, I just love those mornings.
Yeah.
Anyway, listener, thanks for weighing in on that.
Yeah, thank you. So we were having a conversation on a recent mini app about replacing the word purge to refer to getting rid of stuff in your house. And we asked our listeners if they had suggestions for other words or phrases that we could use, and they came through for us.
So many people had great ideas.
Yes.
We're going to read or listen to a few of them. The first one is an email, and I included the subject here because I really enjoyed it. The subject is reframe the shame / teach an old purge new tricks. This listener writes, "Hi, Kate and Dory. I was listening to the pod this morning, and the message from another listener about finding a new way to express the household purge really resonated with me. Tackling unused items and piles around the house is such a relief, but the word purge ignites a feeling of shame in me. It adds fuel to the dumpster fire of emotional chaos that can often accumulate along with all that stuff and makes the task all the more daunting. So, in the spirit of being kind to ourselves and allowing space to recognize that, one, there are so many different reasons we end up with excess stuff in the first place, not all of which are negative, and two, life includes transitions to different stages where once valued things become less useful, may I suggest trying out the phrase making room. Instead of purging your seemingly offensive items, try thinking of it as making room. Room for more efficient things, room for better habits, or room for fresh air even. Making room is taking a positive action toward accepting goodness into your home, whether physical or metaphorical, and feels more cathartic to me than the reactionary task of shoving yet another secret pile of shame into a burlap sack and sending it down the river, hoping it doesn't come back to haunt you."
I loved this email so much. Oh,
what a great idea.
Yeah. And I love this whole concept of changing, reframing the narrative.
I mean, talk about a reframe.
Yeah.
Making room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm making room.
Or making space.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Another listener emailed and just said, instead of purge, you can use declutter or edit or pare down.
All good suggestions.
Really good words.
Okay. And then we heard from another listener who said, they're about 10 episodes behind, but kind of along these same lines that this listener wrote, "I'm really resonating with the overwhelming feelings of too much stuff, trademark, and piles everywhere, trademark. I live in Southern New Hampshire and have my first snow day of the season today. After a 4-day weekend, I was eager to get back to work, and I'm now using this unexpected day off to tackle some of the projects that have been plaguing my household and contributing to my general feeling of overwhelm and discontent in my home. I'm organizing and removing piles. My goal is to clean and declutter my laundry room, bedroom, and kitchen table. I have to start somewhere, and those spaces stress me out the most. I want to share my hack with you. I'm using your podcast to time block. For example, I listened to full-length episode number 96 with Sinead Burke while I organized my bedroom and folded all my clothes. Mini episode 83, I'm snuggling with my cat and drinking coffee. The next full-length episode is when I tackle the piles on the kitchen table, and I'll probably eat lunch while I listen to the next mini episode. I intend to keep moving at this pace until I've finished my tasks."
I mean, did you ever think we would be a tool?
No, but
for making room?
I just love this so much.
What a strat.
What a strat. You're like, you're using our podcast in such creative and wonderful ways.
I truly am honored.
I am too.
That we are a time block. I will say, and this is also a great practice. This is what I do for writing. I do something called the Pomodoro method, mm-hmm. where I write for 20 minutes and then I take a 5-minute break. And I do that over and over and over again. And then I take a longer break after an hour. And I mean, we've had many people chime in and say, like, set a timer for cleaning and that sort of thing. And I really do think it works to have a constraint on the time.
Yes, I agree. I fully agree. All right. So let's hear a voicemail.
Dory, this is a follow-up to the conversation we had on a previous episode about dealing with seasonal affectiveness disorder. I'll get it.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Ellen calling from Chicago to chime in about getting together with friends in the winter when we are all sad and it is dark. And I hear you with the anxiety about hosting. And I am here to recommend having people over for not dinner. A couple times a year, I invite like 8 women over for brunch. And it is not like a Pinterest-worthy brunch. It's stretch pants and an egg casserole and a couple sides. We sit on the couch. And it's much less stressful than feeling like you have to feed people a full meal at dinner and have everything go. It is great. also, if you're more ambitious, last year my friends hosted, and I can't believe it's still winter party in March. It snowed that day.
That's amazing.
And they cranked the heat up to like 80 degrees and put the sun lamp on and had tropical fruits and rum drinks. But it was the most fun. And it was also not dinner. It was like the middle of the afternoon. A lot of them have kids. And it was so great. So if anybody wants to give one of those a try, battle the winter blues, I highly recommend it. Pardon me being out of breath. I am 32 weeks pregnant and walking home from the train. So thanks so much for the pod. Love hearing from you guys. Bye.
What a great suggestion.
A tip from the Windy City.
Yeah. I feel like people who live in like Chicago and Minneapolis have really good winter tips.
Yeah. You go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The afternoon party idea where you warm up
so great
the house is really funny to me.
It's really cute.
That's a fun idea.
I agree.
I mean, your heating bill is going to be a little expensive that day. I wonder how hot they made the house.
Yeah.
80 degrees?
I don't know.
Can you imagine going to a very warm party?
Like just the... But like if it was really cold
yes,
out.
Yes, it think sounds that
would,
nice.
Yeah, that would be so nice.
A tropical themed party in the middle of winter.
It's so smart.
I like it. Even like just having a summer barbecue inside.
Totally.
In the middle of winter. All right.
Let's take a short break.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn voice from Mariah Carey, I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not
possible.
Either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word.
Nice.
Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Okay.
Hmm.
We are back. Oh, that's a nice little sigh, Kate.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, thanks, Dory.
You're welcome. Last week we got perhaps one of our favorite emails ever from a 13-year-old girl named Claire who lives in Alaska.
Again, it's such an honor to know that 13-year-olds are listening to this
truly.
Podcast. What? And then I think of myself at 13 and I just, like, I would have loved podcasts.
Yeah, it's so hard to think about that though, like, what would I have been into as a 13-year-old?
The sassy magazine of podcasts?
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, I was really into sassy. So would I have been like, would I be really into like Instagram or Visco or like
TikTok?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's like, it's very weird to think about.
I asked my child if she knew what a Visco girl was, but she didn't know.
Oh, interesting.
That was kind of a relief because someone else told me that all their like 9-year-old friends want to be Visco girls.
Yeah. A friend of ours who has a 9-year-old told me that her 9-year-old wanted to be a Visco girl for Halloween.
How do they even know what things are?
I don't know.
Are they reading trend pieces on the internet?
Mm.
They do have like style though by 9. Like my
Oh, totally.
My 9-year-old asked for checkered Vans for her birthday.
Like, she definitely sees them and wants things, like, now has a sense of things. So anyway, Claire from Alaska, we know you're not nine, but we're just riffing here.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of people wrote in with advice or called in with advice. So I'm going to share this email. I couldn't help but write in after listening to your mini episode with the email from the 13-year-old who recently moved to Alaska. I just wanted to hug this listener because I went through a very similar experience. I am now 36, but also went through a move to Alaska from Idaho at the age of 12. That was a dark time in my life. I didn't have email, text, social media to keep in touch with friends I left behind. I did keep in touch with letters regularly with four or five girlfriends. Getting a letter in the mail from my long-distance friends was such a treat that would always brighten my day. We would also chat on the landline after begging my parents to let me have some long-distance call time. Remember long distance?
Yeah. Remember, like, the rates went down after 7?
Yes. It's so weird. I hadn't thought about long distance in so long. Anyway, after 2 years, I convinced my parents to buy me a plane ticket back to visit in Idaho. With my two closest friends, there was no awkwardness since I had been away. We picked up where we left off. One friend made the trip up to Alaska the year before my senior year of high school. And again, we picked up where we left off. Over the years, I've had several other big geographical moves, although none have been quite as hard as when I was 12. To the listener, I know this time is hard and you may miss the friends and your old life before the move. The friends that matter will always be there, even if you don't talk every day or have the same day-to-day experiences. Make the best effort you can and even try some of the Stone Age methods of communication, like a phone call or snail mail letter. I mean, I'm on a text chain right now with my best friends from middle school.
Oh.
So I do think, you know, the real friendships stick it out.
Yeah.
And there are ups and downs.
Totally.
But
that's really sweet. Also, I love that she kind of led a parallel life.
Yeah. Also moved to Alaska at around the same age. And go ahead.
No, this is unrelated. But when I was cleaning out my office in preparation for Henry's arrival, I was cleaning out a file cabinet that, like, had just sort of moved with me from house to house. And I found old phone bills, like old landline phone bills.
Oh, goodness.
And it used to cost, like, whatever, you know, 19 cents a minute or however much it was.
Which, so, like, adds up.
Yes, to make, like, long distance calls. And it would have, like, the number and, like, how much the call cost. And I was like, wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's very weird to think
about
old phone plans.
Yes.
And, like, going over your long distance minutes or, like, free long distance.
Yep.
I do fondly miss the 80s.
Yeah, there's some things I miss about the 80s.
Someone I know posted a picture of, like, an old phone on Facebook recently.
Oh.
It had two lines.
Oh.
And where you could, like, merge the calls.
Oh.
Just, and remember the difference between mute and hold?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just
those little things.
Those little things. Dial tones.
Dial tones.
I don't know. Ugh, Claire, do we sound old?
We are old.
We are old. That is true. All right. Here is another. We've got some app suggestions. So I'm going to play a couple of these.
Hey, guys. This is Colleen. I was calling. I just listened on the way to work to the episode where Claire wrote in about keeping in touch with her friends, obviously a little bit older than Claire, I'm 41, but there's an app called Voxer, and I think when you do have cell service or Wi-Fi, like in public or whatever, you can leave a message. One of my best friends was in Alabama, and pretty much every morning on the way to work, we leave each other Voxer messages. We both have busy jobs, and she's got two small kids, so talking on the phone isn't necessarily in the cards, but we can leave each other, you know, a 3 or 4 minute message, kind of catch up on our lives, and we can do it I hope this is okay to say, but while driving, with the hands-free technology, and it's really good to hear her voice every day. So that might be something worth looking into. Have a good one.
So that's Voxer, V-O-X-E-R.
Yep. And it's a walkie-talkie-esque app.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of this
app.
Me
neither.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Totally.
It's essentially kind of like Marco Polo, where you leave video messages, but just like long voicemail-esque messages that you listen to when you can.
And is the idea that, like, they don't take up room on your phone? Like, why wouldn't you just text someone a video?
It's not a video. It's like a long voice recording.
No, I get that when you were saying Marco Polo.
Oh.
Like, why wouldn't you just text someone a video?
Because you can have back... Have you ever done Marco Polo? Mm-mm. You can have back and forth conversations. So, like, you'll be able to scroll across horizontally and you'll see like my face and then your face and then my face and you'll be able to, and like I have
The
same friends I'm texting with from middle school, we also have a Marco Polo thing and you can just kind of make stupid videos and respond to each other in the videos.
That's kind of fun.
It is fun. It's I like it.
Maybe I'll download it.
You should.
Okay.
You can send me a message. Cool. It's very casual and you can also like fast forward. You can add little like goofy changes.
Oh, cool.
Filters, if you will. And they can also be huge group chats.
That's fun.
Yeah. Try it out. Like you might like it with your siblings.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
All right. One more suggestion.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling in response to Claire from Alaska, who was looking for ways to stay connected with her friends when she doesn't have Wi-Fi at home. And both Kate and Dory, you guys mentioned using a voice memo, which is pretty much my suggestions connected. A lot of times with my really good friend who lives across the country from me, we both have iPhones. So we can do those voice messages really easily right in the messaging app. I'm not sure how that works on, say, Androids or other kinds of smartphones, but I do know that WhatsApp works across all of them. And when I've lived out of the country, I've used that with friends. And you can just leave several minutes of message, and they can get back to you, as, you know, say they're in a different time zone and it's not a convenient time for them to talk. So if making phone dates is becomes tricky, it can be really nice. It can also be nice to just leave a message, record on your phone whenever something's happening, like say you're having a really hard day or something exciting just happened and you want to capture that excitement. And then the other suggestion that I have is akin to writing letters. When I moved across country from my best friend to go to college, I bought us a shared journal. And instead of writing a single letter back and forth, we would each keep the journal for a few weeks or months, and when we felt like it was time, we would send it along with all of our entries back to the other friend. And there was something really intimate about having, you know, several weeks worth of one of our thoughts. Whenever we needed a friend to talk to, we could just write it down and then mail it. And it's sort of like what Felicity did with the tape recorder. And if you haven't watched Felicity and you're feeling lonely in Alaska, that might be a good one too. Okay, thanks guys. Bye.
Oh.
A journal back and forth.
I love that.
Isn't that
so
kind of like
much.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants a little bit?
Never saw it.
I never saw it
or
either.
Or read it.
Neither me.
But sure, sounds
Nor
like
I,
it.
I mean, is what I meant to say.
Okay.
Yeah, but a traveling journal back
yeah,
and forth.
It's so nice.
You know what my college boyfriend and I did when we studied abroad?
What?
We each bought tape recorders and taped, like sent cassettes.
Oh. It's
not as cute as it sounds.
It's like Diary of a Teenage Girl. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
She records herself on tapes.
Well, that is what we did because we were on two different continents.
That's so cute.
It was cute.
There was no Marco Polo app.
No, there were no cell phones, but there were cassettes. All righty.
Okay. Let's take another short break.
Yes, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay.
All right, listen, we've got a voicemail and an email, and they couldn't be more different.
I love that.
But that's what this podcast we're all about. So here's a dry lip tip.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm very excited to be a first-time caller. This is my first time calling any podcast ever, so yay! Anyway, I was just catching up on some episodes, and I was listening to the episode from November 18th, and there was a listener who was asking about solutions for dry lips overnight. Well, I have a little tip, which I hope could be helpful. For years now, since I was pregnant with my first child, who is now 15, I have been using a straight-up lanolin cream. It's just 100% pure lanolin. And I got turned on to this because it actually is sold as a nipple balm for breastfeeding moms. But you can also use it on your lips. So I guess the caveat to all of this is that if you are allergic to wool, you probably want to avoid this because lanolin is made from like oils from the sheepskin. So, oh my God, I'm out of breath because I'm so excited. Anyway, so this has worked for me for ages. It's not great for daytime because it does stay pretty sticky, but just for sleeping in, it has literally been the only thing that keeps my lips from cracking in the cold, dry winters of New Jersey. So that's what I wanted to share. Hope you guys have a great day. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and I'm so excited to call. Okay, love the pod. Thank you so much. Bye.
Great tip.
I have definitely put lanolin on my lips.
Yeah. I have some nipple cream, and now that I'm not nursing, maybe I should just use it on my lips.
But wouldn't it not be vegan or vegetarian friendly?
Interesting.
Am I right about that?
I don't know.
I've got to give lanolin a little Google here. Lanolin, according to Google, is vegetarian and cruelty-free. Lanolin is a natural wax found on the wool of sheep that helps keep their coat protected and dry throughout the year. It's 100% natural and proudly animal cruelty-free. I'm sorry, but I'm reading from a website.
It's like lanolinisthebest.com.
It's a little bit propaganda. Oh, here we go. Now, vegan.com, it's extracted from sheared wool. It's a common ingredient. No, I don't think it's vegan. I mean, it's an animal product, so it's definitely not
but
vegan.
But it's vegetarian. They're not killing the sheep.
That is, it's lanolin, according to Dermstore, is a greasy yellow substance made from secretions from the skin glands of sheep to condition their wool. It's a natural animal-derived product harvested from shorn wool. It is considered vegetarian. I don't believe it would be considered vegan.
Good to know.
But please educate us if we are wrong.
Please. All right.
And I will say, like, definitely rub that stuff all over me lips. And that's nice.
This last email is interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts?
I do, but let's read it first.
Okay. Who's going to read it?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Okay.
I'm looking for thoughts on how to support a negative family member. My husband's cousin, parentheses, everyone lives within a 20-mile radius of each other and his family, so we're often together, was in a terrible car crash 6 years ago. She and her husband had very serious acute injuries, and the accident left her with lasting health challenges that limit her mobility. I understand how devastating this must be and how she and her family have had to adjust their formerly active lifestyle to accommodate for her ongoing difficulties. This family member constantly brings up the accident and the way it has upended her life. I'm talking every time we are together socially, a once-a-week Facebook post, and nasty comments whenever anyone brings up them taking on something physical. I truly feel for her and for the hand they have been dealt, but it is exhausting to be around her constant negativity. I made the mistake once of saying that I was rooting for her, and she made a comment that I had no idea what she goes through, and then got away from the table and cried to her parents about me. She is 50 years old. It hurts to have your support rebuffed, and I'm particularly sensitive to her negativity because I watched my mom as a pillar of grace during her pancreatic cancer diagnosis, treatment, and death. Do I just ignore her ongoing negativity, mute her on Facebook, come to dinner events with a list a mile long with topics I know she's invested in, so I don't accidentally say something to upset her? My husband's family says she's always been dramatic and thinks she's actually putting on more about her injuries than is real, but I'm not here to judge that, and I'm really just trying to keep the peace. Any suggestions would be so appreciated. appreciated. I've got it. I've got words.
You do.
It sounds like, I think, to both of us, Dory, that the listener who wrote in is going into this situation with the best intentions.
Totally.
You're trying to be supportive. You are being really thoughtful about where this person is coming from.
Yeah.
And you're being thoughtful, I think, in how you speak to them. And it sounds like it's hard to know the best way. It sounds like this person is going through a lot. And I would say, not to veer off, but I wouldn't get caught up in like what your husband's family is saying about her being dramatic or the injuries aren't real. This person says at face value. She's in a terrible accident and is...
And it changed her life.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
So my thought is that you cannot control how this person grieves or lives or responds in conversation or to your overtures. All you can kind of control is your interactions.
Yeah.
So it seems like if you're together a lot, keep it light.
Yeah.
Don't follow them on Facebook if you're tired, if it's too much for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds like you just need to set up a couple, like, this person is not someone it sounds like you're going to be able to have a really intense relationship with for your own mental health.
Right.
And that is okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I think you can set that boundary. And I think you can still, quote unquote, be there for her without feeling like you always need to be doing something.
Yeah.
And also, I think that would maybe take some of the pressure off both of you. Because it does seem like you get sort of stressed out by how she reacts to when you try to support her.
And I will say, I get that. I'm similar.
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive to everything.
Totally.
So that can be really hard.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, you can be compassionate without constantly like declaring your compassion. I'm sure that your energy around this person is compassionate and kind. So I would say, like, set up some boundaries for yourself.
Just one other thing that I do want to raise about this email. And again, as we said, I know that you were coming to this from a place of compassion. But one thing struck me about this, which is when you said that you're particularly sensitive to her negativity because I watched my mom as a pillar of grace during her pancreatic cancer diagnosis, treatment, and death. First of all, I'm very sorry about your mom. But I just have like reservations about kind of projecting what we have internalized as like the right way to be a victim of a horrible thing or to be grieving. Like, it's wonderful that your mom was a pillar of grace, because that must have been a really difficult time for her, obviously, and for you and everyone around her. But not everyone is going to be a pillar of grace, and that's okay. And I think it's not fair to your husband's cousin to expect her to be a pillar of grace.
Yeah, everybody. That seems like a real individual. I've never experienced terminal illness or any serious illness personally in my own body, but like, I can't imagine the way everybody goes through anything is going to be individual. Yep. And so different.
Yeah.
And I would also say, I would, and it sounds like you're doing this, but I would avoid like the gossiping family, as hard as it is to avoid. I can only imagine that whatever challenges this person physically, emotionally, mentally is going through, nobody can understand them but them.
Yeah.
And so to, you know, to speculate whether or not they're truly experiencing them in the most severe way possible, like, it's layers upon layers of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't even get down that path, because, like, you know how it is to get swept up in the chatter.
Totally.
We've all done it.
I love gossip as much as the next person.
Chatter.
Yeah.
But you seem like such a kind person.
Yeah.
And that seems like a waste of your time, honestly. Agreed. Listener.
I agree.
So, you know, good luck. This sounds like a really tough situation. You seem like a really thoughtful, empathetic person.
Yeah.
I hope you figure out how to navigate it.
Me too.
On that note, we're done here.
We are done here.
But it's been a pleasure.
It truly has.
And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.